The Rudy Valley Hour. Tonight's headliners, Frank Craven, Ethel Merman, Eric Bloor.
Hi-ho, everybody. This is Rudy Valley and Company. Attributed to Mr. Eric Bloor, our visiting Englishman, is the following remark, quote, "You know, I've always liked the Valley program. It's so beastly American. We accept Mr. Bloor's opinion as a compliment. We hope we are decidedly American, meaning vigorous, hearty, and paced for speed and punch. Tonight's show, we feel, is particularly star-spangled, sort of George M. Cohan himself. I can't imagine a more typically Yankee Doodle actor than Frank Craven, who plays a philosophical plumber in Who's This at the Dyke? A comedy of repairs. Frank will be assisted by a remarkable boy actor, Master Ronald Liss. The intensely American art of the popular song is represented by the top practitioner of that art, Miss Ethel Merman. Eric Bloor, London-bound from Hollywood, offers comment on the American and British radio styles. Miss Lillian Satani, captain and catcher of New York's leading softball team, is interviewed concerning America's newest game for the masses. And John Sebastian performs notable feats on that definitely USA instrument, the harmonica. With three hearty cheers for the red, white, and blue, then we enter upon
the Rudy Valley Hour, Act One, presented by the makers of Royal Desserts, Royal Gelatin, and Royal Puddings.
Picture a little Dutch boy and little Dutch girl in Holland. Picture a little windmill upon a Dutch hill in Holland. There's a yellow painted moon above and a Dutch moon, too much moon. Guess what the little Dutch boy and little Dutch girl are doing? Just from the look of things, would you say they're billing and cooing? Well, if you would like to know exactly, they're dreaming. Just dreaming. He said, "Tuli, tuli, 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 tuli pine." She said, "Yes, it's tuli, 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 tuli pine." Then they talked about the weather, but their heads were close together. They agreed, "It's tuli, 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 tuli pine." He said, "Are you truly, 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 truly mine?" With a kiss, she sighed forever. You can hardly blame them, you would do the same in Tuli Tulip time.
He said, "This is Tuli 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 Tulip time." She said, "Yes, it's Tuli 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 Tulip time."
Then they talked about the weather, but their heads were close together.
They agreed, "It's Tuli 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 Tulip time." He said, "Are you truly, 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 truly mine?"
With a kiss, he sighed forever. You can hardly blame them, you would do the same in truly, truly time.
A new American game, already in the fad stage in the Middle West, gaining in popularity in the East every day, softball. New York's leading softball team, the Roverettes of Madison Square Garden. Here to tell us more about softball, Miss Lillian Satani, captain and catcher of the Roverettes. Miss Lillian Gabby Satani. Good evening, Lillian. May I ask, what's your batting average?
.337, thank you. How have you been doing?
Not quite that good, I'm afraid. If you don't mind an even more personal question, how old are you?
17.
And where do you live?
In Bensonhurst.
Bensonhurst, that's part of Brooklyn, isn't it?
I'm afraid so, yes.
Let's look into this softball business. It's pretty much like baseball, isn't it?
Yes, except that in the regulation softball game, there are 10 players. The distance between the bases is shorter. The length of the pitcher's box is shorter. The bat is thinner and lighter, and the ball is bigger.
And softer?
Very little. It's almost as hard as a baseball and almost as small.
Doesn't the pitcher throw underhand?
That's right. But a good pitcher gets a lot of speed into an underhand throw. And curves, too.
Which teams are supposed to be the best right now? Who are the world champions?
The Briggs Body team of Detroit won the men's championship last year. And the women's champions are the Num Num Girls.
Num Num Girls?
That's right.
Why are they numb, or am I being dumb?
You are, but I don't mind. The Num Num Girls work for the Num Num Pretzel Company of Cleveland.
Well, well, how clever of them. They have a sponsor, is that it?
That's the idea. Most of the important teams represent some manufacturer.
Just like radio programs.
Yes, only softball is more fun.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. How did you happen to become a softball catcher?
Well, the game isn't as new as a lot of people think. I used to play at playgrounds over in Brooklyn when I was young.
A long time ago.
Yes. And then last year, I played for the Eastern Women's Softball Club. I hit 452 last year.
And only 337 this season? Lillian, you're slipping.
Well, the pitching is better in the big league. Madison Square Garden took over the Eastern Women's Club in July. And since then, we've been playing the best teams in the country.
Are you a baseball fan, Lillian?
Oh, yes. I see the Yankees play every Friday.
And I'll bet that Lou Gehrig is your dream man, right?
Absolutely. I think he's wonderful.
Who's going to win the big league races this year, do you think?
Oh, the Yankees, of course. And Pittsburgh. In this series, I picked the Yanks four straight.
Have you any brothers or sisters, Lillian?
Four brothers and four sisters.
Are your sisters athlete, too?
No, they're not. All they think about is clothes, makeup, and boys.
And don't you ever think about clothes, makeup, and boyfriends?
Well, yes, but softball is my first love.
I suspect you'll get over that in time. The day will come when you'll trade in Lou Gehrig for Gary Cooper and two utility Gene Raymonds. Don't you think so?
No, I don't.
And that's that. Do you expect to make a career of softball?
Perhaps. It looks as if softball would get more and more important. But right now, I expect to go to normal school when I finish high school this year.
Become a teacher?
Of physical training, yes.
Good luck to you, Miss Satanic. And a plethora of extra base hits.
Thank you, Mr. Valley. By the way, we're playing the Connecticut Yankees of New Haven next Thursday.
The Connecticut Yankees? That's a softball team?
Oh, yes. And a very nice bunch of girls, I hear.
Maybe they'd like to meet a nice bunch of boys. One more point, Miss Satani. I hesitate to mention this, but just between us two, Miss Satani, your nose is shiny.
My goodness, I'll fix it right away.
When days are hot and sultry, it's an ideal time to serve ice cream.
Continuing the red, white, and blue motif of tonight's proceedings, we present Frank Craven, star of our town, in Who's This at the Dyke, written for us and for Frank by John Whedon. Mr. Craven plays a thoroughly domestic American type, a plumber. He is assisted by Master Ronald Liss, whom you will become quite fond very shortly. Blythe Daly and Helen Carew are heard as the boy's mother and nurse, respectively. Frank Craven with Ronald Liss in Who's This at the Dyke. Our scene is the townhouse of H. Mortimer Armstrong, a dark place full of oriental rugs, curving staircases, and echoes. Owing to a minor mechanical breakdown, a crisis has arisen in the Armstrong household. Mr. Armstrong has declared the place unfit to live in and has retreated to his club without his breakfast, vowing that he will not return until order is restored. It is mid-afternoon and the deadlock has not yet been broken. Randy Armstrong, aged 6, and his nurse are alone in the house when...
Oh, there, Sonny. Anybody home?
I'm home.
Well, no offense. I mean your ma. She home?
Nope. She's gone to a bridge club.
Think she'll be back soon?
I don't know. It depends.
Yeah, I suppose it does.
She went after her shirt.
Oh, I see. How's that again?
Her shirt. Last time she was there, she lost it. I bet you don't think I can tie my shoes all by myself.
Randy! Ask the gentleman what he wants, will you?
Sure that ain't your ma calling?
Nope. That's Sourpuss.
Oh. Sourpuss?
Uh-huh. She's my nurse.
Well, what's the matter with Sourpuss coming down here and answering the door?
Because she's upstairs fixing herself up with my mother's hair curlers. That's on account of her steady admirer. Mom says she's twice his age, but it serves him right if he's fool enough. I'm six.
Yeah, pretty spry for an old-timer, aren't you? Look, is there anybody around here who isn't getting a permanent or something?
Rankin. He hasn't got any hair at all.
Who's he?
The butler.
Well, would you tell Mr. Rankin, if he's not too busy with his butling, that there's a Mr. Gilligan to see him in regards to some repairs?
Oh, he isn't in either. He sneaked out for a beer. I don't like beer. Do you?
Well, yes. Say, what kind of an organization is this?
Randy, find out what he wants.
She says find out what he wants.
Tell her it's the plumber.
Are you a plumber?
Sure. How'd you like to be my helper?
You mean be your helper, really?
Sure, why not? I need a husky young fellow to do the heavy work. I'm getting kind of old.
Would you pay me?
Well, you'd have to join the union first.
Would you pay me 5 cents?
Well, not to start, I wouldn't. But if you learned the trade and tended to business and kept away from the bottle, you might work up to it. It's been done.
Gee, then I'd be richer and dead. Mom says when she married him, he didn't have a nickel.
Randy, did you hear what I told you? You stop jabbering him.
I asked him.
Well, what does he say?
He says he's a plumber. He's got to let me help him.
If he's a plumber, tell him to go around to the service entrance.
Okay. Come on, Mr. Gilligan. Watch out for those stairs. They're pretty slippery.
Say, this is quite a place you live in, Sonny.
My name isn't Sonny.
What is it then? Junior?
Nope. It's Randolph. That's a terrible name, isn't it?
Well, it's pretty bad. If you're going to be my helper, I'm going to call you Butch. Nice little place you've got here, Butch. Not bad for a plumber's helper. Well, here we are.
Randy, I said the service entrance.
Well, he's my friend, and my friends can come in the front door if they want to.
Now, you know very well what your mother would say if she heard of this.
Well, I guess she ain't going to hear of it, unless you tell her.
Keep out of this, you.
Sure, sister, I don't want no arguments. Just show me the joint, and I won't trouble you no further.
You've got a nerve. I'll have you know that this is not a joint, and I'll have you know that you can't come in here and talk to me like this. I'll have you know.
I know, I know, I know. Now, look, sister, let's not be getting in each other's nerves. Now just tell me, is there a wash basin around here with a stopped-up joint in the drain, or am I the victim of a practical joke?
I'll show you. I know which one it is.
Randolph, go to your room.
Why?
Oh, no, don't be taking it out on the kid, sister. Let's everybody be reasonable. Now, if you don't tell about Butch bringing tramps into the parlor, Butch won't tell about Nursey swiping his old lady's hair curlers. Hey, Butch? That's fair, ain't it?
Huh. You just wait till your mother gets home, Master Butch.
See? That's why I call her Sourpuss.
Well, you oughtn't to talk to your nurse like that, my boy. You ought to take a Stilson wrench to it. Let's see, where is this joint?
It's in Dad's bathroom. That's what made him so mad. He said, nobody cares what happens to him. And he said, what was Mom hollering about? Because the water goes down her drain, all right.
Well, we'll fix that. A drain is a pesky thing when it backs up on you. That's a fact.
It's in here.
Gold plumbing. I've heard of it, but I never hoped to see the day I'd get to work on it. It seems a shame to put an ordinary wrench to this stuff.
Dad doesn't like it. He says it looks like a circus wagon.
Well, I don't know. Gold is one thing you can't knock to me.
I like it, but I like circus wagons, too.
No wonder the thing stopped up. There's no strainer in the drain. Anything could have slipped down there. Tube of toothpaste, bridge work, mouse, maybe. Anything. Well, let's get busy.
That?
Wrench. Never seen a wrench before?
No.
Well, this is a wrench. See that down there? It's an elbow joint.
What are you going to do now?
Unscrew that little thing on the bottom. Then we clean out the gunk, screw it up again, and that's all there is to it. See? Now you're a plumber. You give a hand here now and we'll twist her off. That's the boy. Yeah, she's loose.
I'm strong, aren't I?
I'll say you are. You ought to be careful with muscle like that. You don't know your own strength. Well, you'd have had the whole wash basin out by the roots if I hadn't held back on her.
Hey, it's leaking.
Hey, to the hills, men. Get a bucket or something.
I got my hand over it.
Good boy, I should have thought of that. Now, you hold on a minute till I find something.
I can hold this a long time.
Yeah, this'll stop it. Nice work, Butch. Why, you're as good as Hoosis at the dike.
What do you mean?
You never heard about the boy with his thumb in the dike?
No.
What kind of education they're giving you? Well, there was this dike had a hole in it. So they told the boy, put your thumb in it. So he did. And he kept it there till the water company come and shut it off. So they gave him a merit badge or something, because if he hadn't have done what he did, goodness only knows where we'd be today. Now, let's get some of this goo out of here. Look out there. You're getting it on your britches. Now, here's the cause of all the trouble. Feels like a marble or something. It's just what it is, too. Big one. This yours by any chance, Butch?
Uh-huh. It's my shooter.
Well, how did it get down there?
Well, if you start it up at the top here and give it a little shove, it goes round and round. See? And then you have to be quick and grab it before it slows up too much and drops in. And if you don't catch it, why you lose.
I see. Sort of a one-man game. Well, if I was you, I'd stick to outdoor marbles after this. It's a better game, really.
Sourpuss wouldn't let me play marbles outdoors.
Why not?
He's afraid I'll get my pants dirty.
Randy!
Must be your ma. I'd better finish up here.
Oh, Randy. Randy, where are you?
Up in Dad's bathroom.
What are you doing up there?
Fixing the elbow joint. What are you going to do when you get through here?
Well, I've got to go back to the shop first, and then I'm going home to the missus for a nice dinner of corned beef and cabbage.
I wish I could go with you. Will you come back tomorrow?
Well, not tomorrow. But sometime, maybe, when something else busts. Tell you what to do, Butch. How'd you like to have a wrench of your own? Then you can go into business for yourself. Here. How's that?
You mean I can keep it?
Sure. I've got another.
Thanks. Oh, boy.
Where's Rankin? Where's Nurse? Where is everybody? Randy, what are you doing here?
We're fixing it. I mean, I'm helping him.
You're absolutely filthy, child. Why'd you let the boy get into things like that? Couldn't you see he was ruining his clothes? And all over your hands. Don't touch me.
Oh, he didn't mean to do it, ma'am. It's my fault. But he was having such a good time, I figured just this once wouldn't hurt him.
That's very good of you. Randy, go to nurse and tell her to wash your face and hands and change your clothes and don't ever let me... Here, give that dirty thing back to the man.
But, Mom, it's mine. He said I could keep it.
Give it back to him, do you hear?
But, Mama, he said I could, and I never have any fun. And the minute anybody gives me a wrench, you have to come around and...
Take it easy, Butch. Take it easy. You ain't gonna bust out crying on me, are you?
No.
Well, that's the boy. Keep your thumb in the dike. I'll be seeing you. Lady, you take it from a plumber. There's more than plumbing needs fixing around this house. Be seeing you, Butch.
Okay.
Come downstairs now, Randolph.
I want to stay here.
Did you hear what I said?
Can I even stay in a room even if I want to?
Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do with you, Randolph. You're just like your father. When you feel you can behave like a gentleman, you may come downstairs.
Gentleman. Everybody's got to behave like a gentleman. Why can't you be like your cousin Freddie, such a little pain in the neck? Go on, tell Dad, why don't you? If you think anybody gets his hands dirty, it's going to kill him. If you think anybody gives anybody a little wrench, he's going to get arrested. If you think anybody has any fun...
That doesn't result in a nationwide epidemic of marble in the drain trouble. We proceed to more Americana. If you have ever heard an English or French singer attempt to sing an American popular song in the American manner, you'll realize that there's quite a knack to it that the foreign canaries don't seem to reach. Possessor of that knack to the ultimate degree is Miss Ethel Merman, as demonstrated most recently in Alexander's Ragtime Band on the screen. As American as syncopated rhythm itself, Miss Merman brings her personal attention to bear on Irving Berlin's Heat Wave. Ethel Merman.
We're having a heat wave, a tropical heat wave. The temperature's rising, it isn't surprising. She certainly can, yam, yam. She started the heat wave while letting her feet wave, and in such a way that the customers say that she certainly can, yam, yam. Gee, her anatomy made the mercury jump to 93. Yes, so we're having a heat wave, a tropical heat wave. The way that she moves that thermometer proves that she certainly can, yam, yam, to ho.
Alexander, Miss Merman made another picture for Mr. Zanuck, Straight Place and Show, starring the Ritz Brothers and as yet unreleased. She has arranged to give us a first hearing of her principal song, With You on My Mind, demonstrating her ability to take a torch ballad and to make it glow. Ethel Merman.
Lovely party, everyone is gay.
I should take a part in it, but I can't put my heart in it. With you on my mind, with you still in my heart, how can I start a new romance? A new romance would never stand a chance. With you in my dream, with you haunting me still, how can I thrill to someone else's charm? How can I long for somebody else's arms? Love's old embers glow, keeping me yearning. Though the fire's low, still it keeps burning. With you on my mind, with me telling of you, somebody new would just be bored with me. And I'd be bored as I could be with other company. With you on my mind. Sleepless nights made me go to Harlem to a show. Everybody said it would be a bracer. If you supply the blues, they supply the chaser. With music, hot music, what music they give out in Harlem. And when Harlem fails, I'm telling you, it's just because I can't go through with you on my mind, with me telling of you, somebody new would just be bored with me. And I'd be bored as I could be with other company. With you on my mind, with you on my mind.
Your station having identified itself in obedience to federal laws, switches are miraculously closed again, and we continue with Eric Blore, John Sebastian, and some interesting musical notions still to come as part of
the Rudy Valley Hour, Act Two, brought to you by Fleischmann's Yeast, the tonic food that's helping so many people over 40 be vigorous and energetic, that tones up their digestion and supplies four different vitamins.
I've got a date with a dream divine. I've got a date with a dream, oh, maybe mine. I've got to hurry to meet her at 7. When any old corner becomes a corner of heaven, blue heaven. I'm going to dance with a dream. We'll dance on air. I'm going to speak to a dream and tell her I care. And when the evening is over, I'll kiss her goodnight. And then I'll have a date with a dream and meet her all over again. A potpourri of tunes from the new 20th century picture, My Lucky Star.
Certain one beside you, could you pass in love? Or would you need a book to guide you on love's lovely night when the lights are low? Then would you know just what to do, what you got to do? Could you pass in love? How is your romantic knowledge? Could you pass in love? If you can't, why go to college? You may know astronomy from A to Z, but oh, when there's a moon above, could you pass in love?
Suppose that heaven knows what fate may have in store. This may be the night, you may be the one. Where have you been hiding, dear? Why haven't we met before? Think of all the moonlight that we should have shared. Moments in the moonlight I could have declared I love you. Lovely one, if you feel the way I do, oh, then I'm sure, so very sure, my world has just begun. Sure that this is the night, and you are. And then I don't know what country claims to have nurtured the inventor of the harmonica, but scores of generations of boy players have made it an American instrument. At my side now is a new mouth organ virtuoso, John Sebastian. John plays an unusual sort of harmonica, one especially adapted for exotic music in minor keys, at least for such exotics as Russian music, the tango, and swing. We introduce John playing his own variations on St. James Infirmary. Variation number one, A la Russe. Variation two, Tango. Variation three, In the Manner of Harlem. John Sebastian. Now in tango rhythm. Sebastian and harmonica go to Harlem. Report from the Committee on Ways and Means.
Could people say this about you? He's changed. Or she's changed since the last time I saw her.
Absolutely nothing could be more American than a sales convention, especially an automobile sales convention. The pep songs salesmen sing at these affairs are the quintessence of Americana. Corny as a prairie silo, they nevertheless have an infectious gaiety and lilt. In honor of the Valley Company's forthcoming visit to Detroit, we present a medley of these high presser jingles that the songs of salesmen sing about fine motor cars.
They gave her the name of the Belle, a wonderful sort of a Belle, like her mother before her, a wonderful best Belle. There'll soon be a million about, there'll more than a billion, no doubt. some money. Oh boy, what a honey is my love sound.
Chevrolet marches on. None can stop the champion throne. We move onward, the race to the strong. Men of might, men who fight, men who know the cause is right. Chevrolet men keep marching along. Now for you and me, there is greater victory. Champions, invincible and strong. Our battle cry, no goal is too high. Chevrolet men, together march on.
Come away with me, Lucille, in my merry Oldsmobile. Down the road of life we'll fly, automobubbling you and I. To the church we'll swiftly steal, where those wedding bells will peal. You can go as far as you like with me in my merry Oldsmobile.
Are here again. DeSoto leads the way again, with style and smartness hand in hand. DeSoto leads again. Every prospect ought to know the smartest car on Auto Row. We'll hunt them out and tell them so. DeSoto days are here.
Packard, Packard, give them your answer due. They'll be crazy trying to compete with you. Your line is so smart and snappy, you'll make Cadillac unhappy. And 38 will still be great for the Packard Motor Crew.
Making it ride like a bird on the wing. And the road's so bumpy, no flies wear a swing. And they call it the new set of horns.
It will be the performing sensation on the highways from Maine to Vermont. With economy, power, beauty, and pep, it's a car that you surely will want. Oh, it glides alone with the greatest ease. And it rides the flag just as smooth as you please. You'll soon be a breeze and along with the breeze. Oh, it's a beaut, it's a peach, it's a wow. In a very few words, it's the nuts. Was just dying to cuddle his queen.
But every minute when he'd be dinner, he'd have to get under, get out and get under.
Then he'd get back at the wheel.
A dozen times they'd start to hug and kiss, and then the darned old engine, it would miss,
and then he'd have to get under, get out and get under, to fix up his automobile.
As an antidote for all our flag-waving this evening, that eminent Britisher, Mr. Eric Bloor, here on the verge of a voyage to Blighty. In 3.5 years that have elapsed since he first appeared in The Gay Divorcee with Fred Astaire, Mr. Bloor has made 32 pictures in Hollywood. He thinks it's a record, and well, it might be. Tonight he plans to lecture on American radio and British wireless, particularly with reference to the reporting of sports events. We hope none of his compatriots will be offended by his remarks. It's all in fun. We present Eric Bloor.
So kind of you, Mr. Valet. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Isn't it marvelous how polite everyone is on the radio? There's one low blood pressure Englishman speaking to a high blood pressure group of my American hosts. I would like to admit right now, and in all sincerity, that I personally have always got a kick out of the hypnotic speed with which are delivered over the radio any current sports event that's here in the United States of America. I'm thinking in particular of such maniacs of the microphone. There's Graham McNamee, Clem McCarthy, and Charles Francis Kerr, and other streamlined, flair-conditioned protagonists of the Keep It Hot Baby policy over the flaming networks.
Do I understand, Eric, that you don't approve of our American sportscasters?
On the contrary, Rudy, on the contrary, I simply love them. To an Englishman, it is utterly fascinating to contemplate the fact that an international game of chess, for instance, can be made as exciting as a baseball contest or any other kind of war game. Now, an American describing a chess game on the radio, that's just in my humble opinion, and to me sounds something like this, or would.
It's the Minsky's move, folks, and Kopeck looks worried. There he goes, he's going to move, boy, oh boy, there goes his hand out. The Minsky's going to move his pawn. Whoop! He's scratching his nose. He didn't move. No, he didn't move that time, but Kopeck certainly looks worried just the same. He looks worried, that baby. He's using a 6-2-3 double wing-back defense. With the Queen's Gambit in kick formation, and boy, oh boy, what a game this is. Whoop, there goes Dominski's hand. He's going to move the pawn to knight 7. There he goes. Oh, no, sorry, he's scratching his nose again. If he goes on scratching his nose will bleed good and plenty, and boy. Think of that baby sitting over there in Switzerland with his right hand, index digit pointed over his good old bishop. Oh, boy, oh, boy. And you're supposed to get excited, and you do get excited. At least I do. Personally, I like it that way, and I get an inordinate kick out of the method. Now, in the case of our Englishmen and English announcers, well, we're different. I also love them, too, but it's a matter of contrast. And in all fun, I'll endeavor to give you, made sort of cozy, you know? I'll endeavor to give you an idea and an impression of the grand national race as broadcast throughout the world from the course at Aintree, England. Here's the announcer. Captain Tisha. Well, here we all are, if you're listening. You're listening to the Grand National, which, as some of you may know, is being run on the Aintree course at Aintree, which, as some of you may know, is outside Liverpool, which many of you may know is outside Manchester. Quite a lot of you may know is outside London. The whole thing should be very interesting. As you all know, there are 32 hurdles, same number every year. The number of entries is inclined to differ yearly. Excuse me while I get hold of a few of our dominions. Hello, are you there, Canada? Oh, you are there, good. Canada's there. Hello, Australia. Are you there, Australia? Good. Stand by for the Grand National. Are you standing by? You are standing by. Good. Australia is standing by. Hello, South Africa. South Africa, why don't you answer me when I'm speaking to you? So you are standing by. Well, keep standing by, Pete, and don't move. Hello, China. What? Oh, you don't belong to us. Right. All right, China, you can relax. Well, I think we have most of our dominions lined up, and I just want to say that here we are at the Grand National, being run at Aintree, and Aintree got fun. I just thought that myself. And here I am under the judge's box. It's raining quite a bit, so I can't see very much from where I'm standing. But I should say that there are anything from 50 to, 150,000 people here. And I personally can see quite a few umbrellas. And by the way, who's that over there? Marlene Dietrich. Marlene Dietrich. What? Oh, correction. No, it's somebody who looks like her. Anyway, everything's very gay in spite of the weather, and as far as I can see, the horses are lining up at the post, so I'll switch you over to Major Audley, who will explain things and happenings from that point of vantage. Are you there, Major Audley? What? Oh, you are there. Well, snatch it away, please. Have you snatched it? Right, you have. Good. Hello, everybody. Major Audley.
Hello, everybody. Well, as you all know, this is the Grand National, and 32 jumps every year, and 26 runners last year, but this year there are only 25 runners, and here we are at the starting post. I can't see very much from where I am. Raining everywhere, and from what I can see, the horses are all very restive. You all know each horse has a jockey, and the going is heavy. Liable to be nip and tuck all the way. There may be a lot of fall-ins about. And, of course, in a race like this, you never know what's going to happen, and as the visibility is distinctly low here, I'll turn you back to Captain Cheshire at the finishing post. Hello, everybody. Captain Cheshire, you there, Captain Cheshire? Yes, I'm here. Who's speaking? Major Audley at the starting post. Oh, yes, where have you been all the time? At the starting post, and I'm in a position to tell you that they're all. Thank you. They're off. They're absolutely off. At least I think they're off. Are they off, Otley? Well, two of them are off already. They are off. So I was right, you see, after all. There they go. There they all go. There's Beecher's Brook, and by Jove, I can tell you there was something of a spill there. As far as I can see, there's only one horse in it. It's leading, and oh, how it is leading. Leading by about, oh, by about 25 hurdles. It's the winner. It's the winner. It's the winner. It's the winner. Oh, thank you. Ben! And the winner lost his glasses. And the winner is Golden Boy. Golden Boy is the winner. Oh, pardon, correction. The winner is not so much Golden Boy as Quicksilver. Oh, sorry, it seems that Quicksilver's jockey fell off at the last jump and his horse came in riderless, so that this year absolutely nobody won the Grand National through the courtesy of the jockey coming to you through the courtesy of 60,000 kilocycles, but better luck next year. Au revoir, dominions, you can come back, China.
Now, especially to people in their 40s and 50s.
Hello,
dream divine. Next week, more highly American shenanigans. Shenanigans with a cast headed by Walter O'Keefe and Bill Robinson. The Valley Company appears tomorrow night at Indian Lake, Russell's Point, Ohio. Then for 4 days beginning Saturday, August 27th, we shall perform at the Michigan State Fair at Detroit, Michigan. This is Rudy Valley bidding you all good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.